there's Sutaka, Matara Sutta is the Jataka Sutta, Majjhima Nikaya number 87. Born from those who are dear. And this particular discourse has the following parallels in the Chinese Agamas. One parallel in the Majjhima Agama, number 216, an individual Majjhima style sutta, at Paishor Sutta number 91, and also included in the Ekotara Agama 3. So, as an individual sutta, included in another sutta, Paishor 4.16. So, this particular sutta. Dialogue between. Okay, so that the second, Paishor 154.15 is a Chinese Jataka collection in the 15th chapter of a book called The Discourse on Former Birth, which was translated by Dharma Raksha, 265 and 316 AD. So a very early translation into Chinese. So I heard on one occasion that the Blessed One was living at Savatthi in Jeta's Grove in Atapindika's Park. Now on that occasion, a certain householder's dear and beloved only son had died. After his son's death, he had no more desire to work or to eat. He kept going to the charnel ground and crying, "My only son, where are you? My only son, where are you?" And that householder went to the Blessed One and, after paying homage to him, sat down at one side. The Blessed One said to him, "Householders, your faculties are not those of one in control of his own mind. Your faculties are deranged." Fairly direct assessment. Tend to be a bit more, tactful these days. Yeah, and just Ati te imbriyanam anyatattanti, your faculties. Face or whatever is anyatattang. There is an otherness of your faculty. There is an otherness of your faculty. How could my faculties not be deranged, venerable sir? For my dear and beloved only son has died. Since he died, I have no more desire to work or to eat. I keep going to the charnel ground and crying, "My only son, where are you? My only son, where are you?" Kahang eka puttaka, kahang eka. So it is, householder, so it is. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are born from those who are dear, arise from those who are dear. "Venerable sir," he replied, "who would ever think that sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are born from those who are dear? Or rise from those who are dear, venerable sir. Happiness and joy are born from those who are dear. Arise from those who are dear." And then, displeased with the Blessed One's words, disapproving of them, the householder arose from his seat and left. So, interesting how the Buddha is obviously not afraid to talk straight. And even though in that case, that is rejected. Yeah. I mean, if that happened to me, I'd think, "Oh God, what did I do wrong?" Should have been more tactful, you know. Sort of. Now, on that occasion, some gamblers were playing with dice not far from the Blessed One. Then the householder went to those gamblers. So the word for dice is akka. Dutta is a word that's used for to mean used in a sense. In a sense, it's something like an addict. It's not quite as strong as the English word addict, but it's those people addicted to or habitually playing dice or habitually drunken or habitually going to the brothel or whatever. Akka. Okay. So we've got a number of different words. The first one here from Vedic Aksha. Access, Latin access, old high journal, German, etc. Axa, English axle, to root of Latin ago, the axle of the wheel. That's one first meaning. Second meaning they give here from Vedic Aksha, also the same Vedic root, probably to Akshi in Latin oculus, that would have eyes, i.e. a die, also Latin alia, game of dice, ball game. So we have Buddha, false player. Dasa, someone who looks at the dice, a umpire, a judge, a kaduto, who has advice of gambling. Gambler saying with dice, the householder went to the gamblers and said, just now, sir, I went to the recluse Gotama, and after paying homage to him, I sat down at one side. When I had done so, the recluse Gotama said to me, householder, your faculties are not one of control in his own mind, and so on. And he repeated the story. And those gamblers said to him, so it is, householder, so it is. Happiness and joy are born from those who are dear, arise from those who are dear. And then the householder left thinking, I agree with the gamblers. Eventually this story reached the king's palace. So in a sense that first story is like a kind of anecdote which sets the scene for it. Directly related to the remainder of it. Eventually, this story reached the king's palace. Then King Pasenadi of Kosala told Queen Malika, this is what has been said by the recluse Gotama, Malika. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are born from those who are dear, arise from those who are dear. To which Malika replies, if that's been said by the Blessed One, Sire, then it is so. And Pasenadi says, no matter what the recluse Gotama says, Malika applauds it thus. If that's been said by the Blessed One, then it must be so. Just as a pupil applauds whatever his teacher says to him, saying, so it is, teacher, so it is, so too, Malika. No matter what the recluse Gotama says, you applaud it thus. If the Buddha said it, that must be so. Be off, Malika. Away with you. So this giving... I mean, we've already had some insights into, the cult. We've got the gamblers near the monastery. You know, you go into the monastery, you come back, you go past the gambling house. So we've had a bit of an insight into the culture there, but now an insight into the marriage situation of the royal family. Things haven't changed all that much. So perhaps we should introduce these characters. Of the Malika and Pasenadi. Who knows who about Malika and Pasenadi? Who wants to tell us the story? But here's a bit of a background on Pasenadi. This is from the Pali Dictionary of Proper Names. So it's always a very useful thing. If you've ever got a proper name, a character in a sutta or the name of a sutta itself or something, then you can always find it, almost always, in this very, very thorough job done by Malavasekara, the great Sri Lankan scholar, who was also, among other things, the Sri Lankan ambassador to the Soviet Union, and managed to compile this dictionary in his spare time. We have the paper version downstairs, but it's also online, and if you just Google Pali Dictionary proper names, then that'll take you to it. And he includes, they're very thorough, his pieces are very thorough, and he almost always includes all of the chief references for the particular people concerned, so it's a very useful resource. King Pasenadi, king of Kosala, and of course you remember where Kosala is? Is Magadha, and that area, and Kosala being up here. So it's a little bit south of the Himalaya, north of the Ganges. Now, he was the son of Mahakosala, and Mahakosala probably being the king who established Kosala, who really put Kosala on the map before that, India, the Indian political sphere was tended to be dominated by fragmentation and the formation of a large number of sort of small regional kingdoms, and then a sort of corresponding sort of aggressive sort of absorption of these into creation of bigger political entities. And the generation before Pasenadi, his father Mahakosala, had created a fairly large kingdom around Kosala and Savati, and he'd done that, apart from other things, by absorbing Benares, which is down here, called Kasi on this map. So he'd absorbed that, and that was still a point of contention between Kosala and Rajagaha and Magadha down here. So both Kosala and Magadha were in expansive phase, and after the Buddha's death, they, of course, clashed, or during the Buddha's lifetime, they clashed, but after his death, they clashed and squeezed out the Vajins and other smaller republics until eventually, of course, Magadha won. Won the contest. And so, son of Mahakosala, and was educated at Takasila, as everyone was, Takasila being a traditional ancient Indian university, and Takasila is up in the northwest in Kashmir. And so among his companions in Takasila were the Lichavi Mahali and the Mala prince Bandhula. On his return home, his father was so pleased with his proficiency in the various arts that he forthwith made him the king, of course being all legendary history. As a ruler, Pasenadi gave himself wholeheartedly to his administrative duties and valued the companionship of wise and good men. Quite early in the Buddha's ministry, Pasenadi became Buddha's follower and close friend, and his devotion to Buddha lasted till his death. In the commentary to the Sanyutta Nikaya, adds that the king tried to put down the bribery and corruption in his court, but his attempt does not appear to have been very successful. So he showed generosity, he gave alms to people desiring food and drink, and he, even after becoming the Buddha's follower, he did not omit to salute holy men of other persuasions. An incident recorded in the Udana. Now that's a little bit cheeky, because the actual story is that these ascetics went past, and King Pasenadi bowed down to them and said, "Oh, I'm Pasenadi of Kosala," announced who he was to these ascetics who were walking past, and then he said to the Buddha, "Were any of these monks arahants who walked past?" And they were like wanderers from another sect. And the Buddha said, "Well, it's hard to know who an arahant is. An arahant's got very refined qualities, and so on and so forth." And Pasenadi says, "Ah, so wise is the wisdom of the Buddha. Actually, those men were all spies who I'd sent out in disguise to go and get information around the country." Not necessarily worshipping the ascetics, but keeping the disguise. And there's the Kosala Sanyutta is got 25 anecdotes dealing with him, including the world's first ever weight loss diet. So, and then his chief wife was Malika. I won't go through all the details of Pasenadi, but chief wife was Malika. She was the daughter of the chief garland maker of Kosala. So that being quite a low birth, was very good and beautiful when she was 16, being the conventional age for marriage in the stories. She was one day on her way to the garden with some companions, carrying with her 3 portions of sour gruel in a basket. Meeting the Buddha, she offered them to him and worshipped him. The Buddha, seeing her wrapped in joy, smiled, and in answer to Ananda's question, said she would be the chief queen of Kosala that very day. Okay, so course, it being an extraordinary thing to prophesy that that very day that this daughter of a flower garland maker became queen, and the story recorded in the commentaries. It happened that Pasenadi, having suffered defeat at the hands of Ajatasattu that very day, so this giving us some timing here, Ajatasattu only coming into power towards the end of the Buddha's ministry. So if this account is to be believed, then Pasenadi couldn't have married Mallika before the last few years of the Buddha's ministry, say 10 years at the most. Kind of interesting. I'm not sure that that detail should be trusted, though. Pasenadi, having suffered defeat at the hands of Ajatasattu that very day, was passing by and entered the flower garden attracted by Mallika's voice. Mallika, seeing him coming and noticing his weariness, seized his horse's bridle. The king, discovering that she was unmarried, dismounted and having rested a while with his head on her lap, entered the town with her and took her to her own house. In the evening he sent a chariot for her, and with great honor and pomp brought her from her own home, set her on a heap of jewels, and anointed her the chief queen. From that day onwards, she was the beloved and devoted wife of the king and an undeviating follower of the Buddha. The king found her sagacious and practical-minded and consulted her and accepted her advice when in difficulty. E.g., in the Dana, wherein he wished to excel his subjects, and again when he was troubled by evil dreams, as narrated in the Mahasupina Jataka. The Dhammapada commentary says that Mallika called the king a simpleton for putting his faith in Brahmins, and took him to the Buddha, and while the king sat trembling, asked the questions for him, had them explained. The Jataka states how Mallika saved many innocent lives from being sacrificed, and the Buddha declared that in a past life too, as Dinna, she saved the lives of a large number of people by her wisdom. Both Mallika and the Pasenadi's other queen, Vasabhakatiya, so Vidudaba was Vasabhakatiya's son, desired to learn the Dhamma, and at their request conveyed through Pasenadi, the Buddha asked Ananda to visit the palace regularly and teach them the Dhamma. Ananda found Mallika an apt and ready pupil, conscientious in her work. Vasabhakatiya was not so devoted to her duty. For an incident connected with Ananda's visit to the palace, Mallika's knowledge of the Dhamma made her wiser than Pasenadi would have desired. And he once, in a moment of great affection, in Sanyutta Nikaya, asked if anyone were dearer to her than her own self. No, sire, was the answer. The king was evidently greatly disappointed, for he sought the Buddha, who explained to him that Mallika, in making that answer, had uttered a great truth. Okay, because, of course, the right answer is, of course, that you are dearer to me than yourself. Mallika, although an exemplary wife, was not without lapses. Reference is made to the quarrels she had with her husband, once at least, on the question of conjugal rights, as a result of which they both sulked and had to be reconciled by the Buddha. So this being the Jataka story that we discussed some time ago. In these quarrels, the king was probably more to blame than Mallika. It is said that until reconciled by the Buddha, he ignored her very existence, saying that posterity had turned her head. The Dhammapada commentary relates a ridiculous story about her misbehavior with a dog in the bathhouse. I don't need to go into details, but anyway, there was a dog involved, Mallika was there, and things happened which probably shouldn't have happened. And Pasenadi saw the scene, sort of glimpsed it through the window, and said, "Did I see you with that dog in the bathhouse? What was going on there?" She said, No. It was just must have been a trick of the light. Nevertheless, it is said that at the moment of her death, she recollected this misdeed and a result was reborn in Avicii hell. The king was overcome by grief at Mallika's death and after the funeral rites went to the Buddha to ask where she had been reborn. The Buddha, not wishing him to know, caused the king to forget the question. Every time he came to the whole Vihara for a whole week, until Mallika's suffering in Avicii was over. Okay, so you can imagine that it's a great scene, and he he's got everyone with him, the whole pomp and everyone, and they're coming to ask the Buddha a question. He gets out, oh, what was that? Oh, I forgot. Then he goes off again. Then, finally, the Buddha allowed the question to be asked, and he told this entity that she'd been reborn in Tusita heaven, solving his grief. So this being a good example of skillful speech, yeah, but he didn't want to pretend to be upset. This particular incident more kind of. Mallika had a daughter by. When it is said in the Anguttara Nikaya that when Pasenadi was on a visit to the Buddha, when a man came with a whispered message that the queen was dead, there was a terrible shock. His shoulders drooped, his mouth fell, and he sat brooding, unable to speak. Also, that also tends to question the timing that we've had before. If Mallika was a 16-year-old girl in the last 10 years of the Buddha's life, she couldn't have been more than mid-20s when she died. So, could be. Mallika had a daughter by Pasenadi. No mention is made of a son. And probably her daughter is Vadiri, who is spoken of as the king's only daughter. Pasenadi was said to be disappointed on hearing that the child was a girl, but the Buddha assured him that women were sometimes wiser than men. Mallika is mentioned in Milinda Panha as one of seven persons whose acts of devotion bore fruit in this life and whose fame reached even to the gods. There's only one question on record of the Buddha, of Mallika asking a question of the Buddha. She wished to know why some women are plain, others beautiful, some rich, and others poor. Sutta, and mentioned Mallika meaning jasmine. Quite a common. Okay, so after Mallika had been scolded by Pasenadi, then she addressed the Brahmin Nali Jangaha. Come, Brahmin, go to the Blessed One and pay homage in my name with your head at his feet and ask whether he's free from illness and affliction and is healthy, strong, and abiding in comfort, saying, Venerable Sir, Queen Mallika pays homage with her head at the Blessed One's feet and ask whether the Blessed One is free from illness and so on. And then ask him, Venerable Sir, have these words been uttered by the Blessed One? Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are born from those who are dear, arise from those who are dear. Learn well what the Blessed One replies and report it to me, for Tathagatas do not speak untruth. So she obviously wants to test whether the information is correct. And of course, you know, this being a play on the kind of the emotional dynamics in the relationship, of course, because King Pasenadi, being very attached to his wife, wants to see her and the rest of his family being a source of happiness. And, you know, in this sense, sort of, Pasenadi is very much the kind of everyman of the Buddhist scriptures. And he's not the most intelligent, he's not the most skillful or clever. So he's representing the ordinary person who, and obviously reacts against what Mallika said because of it. So, the Brahmin went and asked the Buddha the question, and the Buddha replied, so it is, Brahmin, so it is. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are born from those who are dear, arise from those who are dear. It can be understood from this, Brahmin, why this is the case. Once in this same Savatthi, there was a certain woman whose mother died. Owing to her mother's friend, she went mad, lost her mind, and wandered from street to street and from crossroad to crossroad, saying, have you seen my mother? Have you seen my mother? And it can also be understood from this. Once in the same Savatthi, a certain woman whose father died, or his brother died, or his sister died, or his son died, or his daughter died, or whose husband died. Owing to her husband's death, she went mad, lost her mind, wandered from street to street, from crossroad to crossroad, saying, have you seen my husband? Have you seen my husband? And similarly with men whose father died, brother, sister, daughter, or wife died. And here's another story. Once in the same Savatthi, there was a certain woman who went to live with her relative's family. her relatives wanted to divorce her from her husband and give her to another whom she did not want. And the woman said to her husband, Lord, these relatives of mine want to divorce me from you and give me to another whom I do not want. Run out of Google Pages. Yeah. Then the man cut the woman in two and disemboweled himself, thinking, we shall be together in the afterlife. Can also be understood from this, how sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are born from those who are dear, arise from those who are dear. So that last one has been a very violent story, but also interesting in terms of family relations, that there was a woman, she's married, but the relatives wanted to divorce her from the husband, give her to another one. Then, delighting and rejoicing in the Blessed One's words, the Brahman Nali, and of course that those particular scenarios, as we know today, is very much reinforced by our knowledge of patterns of abuse and violence and so on. Most violence and abuse and so on does happen in the family, not outside it. And delighting and rejoicing in the Blessed One's words, the Brahman Nali Jangha rose from his seat, went to King Malika, and reported to her his entire conversation with the Blessed One. Then Queen Malika went to King Pasenadi of Kosala and asked him, what do you think, sire? Is Princess Vajiri dear to you? This again probably being Malika's daughter. Yes, Malika, Princess Vajiri is dear to me. What do you think, sire? If change and alteration took place in Princess Vajiri, would sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair arise in you? So this word for change and alteration being a Pali idiom, viparinama and anyata bhava. Viparinama literally kind of misrightening, perhaps. And anyata anya is other, being the same word when the man's features were deranged. Here we have the same word, the anya, other, anyata bhava, in a state of otherness. Misrightened, literally misrightened, or in a state of otherness. And that being a common idiom, effectively to mean that you're dead or dying or something like that. And just to notice the term for Vajiri here is Kumari. Change and alteration, so Pasenadi goes on. Change and alteration in Princess Vajiri would mean an alteration in my life. How could sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair not arise in me? It was in reference to this time that the Blessed One said that sorrow and lamentation arise from those who are dear. What do you think, sire, is the noble Queen Vasabha dear to you? And so this being Queen Vasabha, dear to you is General Vidurbha, dear to you. So I'll just make some notes on this as we go along, but here is the second queen, Vasabha. Hatia, not really doing the whole kind of. So Vajiri Kumari, and then the next one mentioned. Is Vasabha Hatia? So this is the queen, the other queen, the second queen, Vasabha Hatia, so the mother of Vidurbha. And the reason I point this out because her name is a little bit unusual, because of course Katya being the name of the noble warrior caste, and Bhikkhu Bodhi has tried to capture that here in his rendering, is the noble queen Vasabha, but Katya seems to be a part of her name, which is a slightly unusual name. The reason why that's interesting is because, of course, she was the one who was the daughter of Mahanama, the Sakyan prince, and a slave girl. And the slave girl was called Naga Munda. And both Naga and Munda are names of non-Aryan indigenous peoples in India. And thus being a very clear reference to her status as not being merely low caste, but actually being racially distinct from the Sakyan tribe. And so the fact that her daughter is then called Vasabha Katya seems to be, it's got this kind of slightly desperate edge to it. Oh yes, she's definitely a Katya. Yeah, you can see that because it's in her name. But of course, that was she's the daughter of a slave girl. And so the text seems to be a bit ambiguous as to between whether it's a title or a name. Okay, and then the next one is Vidurbha. And notice the spelling here, Vidurbha, called General Vidurbha. And of course being the crown prince who later killed Prasenadi, indirectly killed him, he basically exiled him, took over the crown and he left him to die. And this is spelt, it's a very strange spelling. This is Vitatubha, but the spelling I'm more used to is Vidurbha, which is spelt, so that's been the spelling I'm more used to. Vidurbha, both of them being unusual words in Pali. I just was reading a story today actually that had another spelling of it from a northern source, Sanskrit source, and it was spelt Virudhaka. Virudhaka being a standard Sanskritish kind of name, meaning the one who's expanding or the growing one, the developing one, the strengthening one. So that probably being a normalization of the original name. And again, the reason why this is slightly interesting, the Pali commentary asks the question, why did he end up with such a weird name? And the answer that was given was that when there was a deaf servant who was asked to go and I think asked the queen or something, what should we call the child? And then he misheard what was said and then came back and said, oh, Vidurbha, but he was just being a dumb servant who didn't quite get it right. And so that's how he ended up with this very strange name. And of course that being an acknowledgement by the tradition that it is weird, it's a very un-Pali kind of form. It's very rare in Pali, if you notice, to have two retroflex consonants in one word. If there are two in the word, usually one of them will be normalized and won't be retroflex. So the retroflex consonants themselves are often felt to be, or at least a large part of their derivation is from the Indian indigenous languages. They're usually not found in Aryan languages outside of India. So they're felt, the existence of retroflex is felt to be an influence from indigenous languages like the Munda and possibly Tamil groups of languages. And so I think the name here being another sign of the kind of the non-Aryan origins of Vidurbha, mother, Vasavakatiya, grandmother, Naga. Anyway, he still loves them. Of course, that didn't, the fact that he loves Vasavakatiya and Vidurbha didn't stop him from banishing them from the palace to the slaves' quarters when he found out that they were born slaves. Buddha had to give a lengthy teaching for him to get him to restore them. Then she goes on, Malika goes on, am I dear to you? And then Akasi and Kosala, dear to you. And so again, this being kind of a slight acknowledgement of the political situation I mentioned before, that his father, Mahakosala, had established the kingdom, part mainly by absorbing Kasi. So here he's kind of, the fact that they're still known by separate names suggests that they're still not really integrated as one political entity. Yes, Malika, Kasi and Kosala are dear to me. We owe it to Kasi and Kosala that we use Kasi sandalwood and wear garments, scents and unguents. He knows what he likes. What do you think? If change and alteration took place in Kasi and Kosala, would sorrow, lamentation and pain, grief and despair arise in you? How could it not be? And then this is reference to this that the Blessed One said. This is how sorrow, lamentation arise from one dear. It is wonderful, Malika. It is marvelous how far the Blessed One penetrates with wisdom and sees with wisdom. Come, Malika, give me the ceremonial water. Then King Prasenadi of Kosala rose from his seat and arranging his upper robe on one shoulder, he extended his hands in reverential salutation towards the Blessed One and uttered this exclamation 3 times, honor to the Blessed One. accomplished and fully enlightened. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Go through Honorable Analia's stage, see if there's any interesting points here. So according to the Akotara Agama version, the reason why in the case of the murder-suicide case, the reason why the remarriage was indicated was because the husband had become poor. So in some of the versions, in the Madhyama Agama version and the individual translation, this is the occasion when King Pasenadi took refuge and declared himself to be a disciple of the Buddha, whereas according to the Pali tradition, his actual conversion sutra is recorded in the Dahara Sutta in the Samyutta Nikaya, suggesting also supported by the Tibetan Duwa, the Mulasarvastivada Vinaya. The Akotara Agama version reports that King Pasenadi's esteem for Mallika considerably increased after the explanation he had heard from it. According to the same version, the Buddha came to hear the conversation that had taken place between Pasenadi and Mallika and approved of her exposition, declaring her to be chief among his female lay disciples for her firm faith. The list of eminent lay disciples in the Anguttara Nikaya doesn't mention Mallika, but it's Akotara Agama, a counterpart, declares her to be foremost among those who make offerings to the Tathagata. So that's a fairly straightforward sutta and fairly typical of the suttas found in the Kosala Samyutta. And according to the theory which I developed in the first part of History of Mindfulness, I theorized that suttas like this would have originally belonged, say, in that collection in the Kosala Samyutta, and was later moved out. But in any case, gives the Buddha's somewhat cynical and pressing views on marriage in the household life. He's only giving a one-sided point of view, isn't he? Like that. So in that sense, I think this is actually quite interesting historically, because I don't know whether this kind of way of reflecting about family was very common before that. Normally. So I think this is probably an early case or an early situation of people actually stepping back from those things and actually reflecting about them, rather than getting enough distance to be able to reflect about the nature of them. And you can see how even through the fairly distant and almost emotionally quite restricted range that the kind of stereotype text in the Pali gives you, but still, even through that lens, you can see that quite different attitude from Pasenadi and Mallika, where he's not able to the same extent to be able to sit back and reflect on it. You know, like the Jataka that we thought we read a few weeks ago is exactly the opposite situation, and that's when Pasenadi and Mallika had this big argument and they weren't talking to each other. And so that's when the Buddha gives a teaching on you know how important it is to love each other. Yeah.